James Earl Carter, Jr. was always an outlier. As a president and as a boy decades earlier in rural South Georgia. Born on October 1, 1924, in a small hospital in Plains, Georgia, Jimmy grew up on his father's 360-acre farm 2.5 miles down the road in the tiny hamlet of Archery. The Carter family home was a 3-bedroom, single-story house assembled from a Sears Roebuck kit. The structure lacked electricity and insulation and had no running water until 1935, when Carter's father bought a small windmill to pump water from the backyard well into a water tank. Until then, the family used an outdoor privy with 4 holes. The family's shower was made by punching nail holes in the bottom of a bucket suspended from a water pipe in the wood ceiling. The village of Plains, population 479, had electricity most of the hours of the day, provided by a large 1-cylinder engine. Every time it hit a stroke, the engine blew a smoke ring up in the air. Everyone in town could hear the engine pounding away, until periodically it would break down and there would be no electricity at all. Although electricity came to Atlanta in 1884, it took more than a half century to reach Archery in 1938. Carter later recalled Riley, "The greatest day in my life was not being inaugurated president, and it wasn't even marrying Rosalind. It was when they turned the electricity on, because that totally transformed our lifestyle." Most of the streets of Plains were not paved until 1954. But if Jimmy's boyhood home was Spartan and surrounded by abject poverty, his childhood was nevertheless comfortable and relatively privileged. Archery was a throwback to the 19th century. Jimmy's father, James Earl Carter, Sr., had a 10th grade education before dropping out to join the army. In 1903, when Earl was only 10 years old, his father, William Archibald Carter, was shot dead during a violent brawl with a business rival. They had been arguing over who was the rightful owner of a desk. Earl was certainly not country white trash, but neither was he part of the Southern plantation aristocracy. By the late 1920s, he made more than a comfortable living growing peanuts, corn, and cotton, and drawing rents from his black tenants. He managed to expand his farm acreage even during the boll weevil blight of the 1920s, which wiped out many cotton farmers. "Daddy was a very aggressive, competent farmer," Jimmy recalled. "He was always trying to turn any harvest into cash. One year he planted 10 acres of tomatoes and they turned out beautifully, but so did everyone else's tomato patches all over Georgia that year. I remember a man named Mr. Ryecroft, and I loaded his truck with tomatoes," Jimmy said, "and we rode all over Georgia trying to sell the tomatoes. We couldn't sell them at all. So we came back home, and Daddy and he decided to make ketchup out of those tomatoes." Earl was unusually entrepreneurial. "We had sheep," Jimmy said, "and Daddy would send the wool off to some central manufacturing place, I never knew where, and get blankets back, and we would sell blankets in our local store. We grew beef cattle. We milked 12 cows at most. Daddy would process the milk, either making vanilla or chocolate milk to sell in little 5-cent bottles that he would haul around and put in different grocery stores. They grew sugarcane that Earl turned into a syrup and bottled under the label Plains Made, with a picture of a pretty girl on the label. They plucked the down from a flock of geese to make down comforters and pillows. Everything Earl Carter touched turned to money," said his nephew, Hugh Carter.